Two Chocolate Cakes is a story of two cakes, bookended at the beginning of one life and at the end of another, and all the culinary and emotional layers in between those moments. Spaghetti sauce. The entry on this card has been misspelled since my teenage years. I've never bothered to correct it. When Mom gave it to me, she said, "A girl should know how to make a few dinners. But in this day and age, she should have a career and her own credit cards, too." When my father left, she realized how a woman should take care of herself at the same time that she takes care of family. The spaghetti sauce recipe was adapted from my grandmother and spinster auntie. Grammy Cole had come to this country from Ireland when she was 18, and her name was still Moffat. She married when she touched land in Boston and gave birth to my Auntie Ethel just a few months later. 8 kids and 26 years later, Dad was born. Fatherless, my grandfather having died 2 months before. It was a time of Irish need not apply, but most of my father's brothers and sisters had jobs in the linen mills and factories and had their own families and had long left the 2-bedroom tenement on Farmington Avenue. My father was passed around to the different relatives and into a children's home for months at a time while my grandmother worked as a housekeeper for a wealthy lawyer. Dad didn't look like his petite siblings. He was tall and long-limbed, taller by almost a foot in most cases. Unusual for a child born into poverty, but he had Auntie Ethel's eyes and her smile. He forged Grammy's signature when he was 16 and joined the Marine Corps, shipping off to Korea. Even though it was never made when my father was a child, it was his favorite meal. Spaghetti and meatballs, a pale iceberg lettuce salad, garlic bread, lots of crushed red pepper in the sauce, and a jug of Ernest and Julio Gallo red table wine. It was a traditional Sunday dinner at Grammy and Auntie Ethel's. My 4'10" grandmother in her chair with a bottomless can of Schlitz beer in her hand, eating peanuts without her teeth in, shouting in her Irish brogue at the Red Sox playing on Channel 30. Before dinner, my sister and I would get a lecture about why we missed church that day, or if our fingernails were too long or too dirty, Grammy would trim them with her little knife during the inning breaks of the ball game. If there was time, there was always bubble stuff to be found in the pantry, and Kay and I would retire to the stoop to blow bubbles down the street with our sticky wands. Or we would visit Grammy's sister, Auntie Belle, and Uncle Bill, who lived upstairs and had a piano. They usually ate TV dinners on Sunday, and Aunt Bill would play her piano and sing, and we would dance around the living room like the fairies that they said lived in the wood in Ireland. When my grandmother died of a cancer that ate away her stomach, and Auntie Ethel of Alzheimer's that ate away at her brain, recognizing only my father at the very end, my mother took over the task of making the sauce for Sunday. Mom's sauce was much better than Auntie Ethel's. It was richer and darker and far more flavorful, but Dad always commented on how it wasn't nearly as good as his mother's. She always made the iceberg lettuce with the rock-hard grocery store tomatoes and a limp cucumber as per the Sunday dinner regimen. But Dad never touched it. I don't even remember him eating salad. When Kay and I laughed at the table or there was too much chatter, he would banish one of us to the cellar with its dirt floor for the rest of the meal. After that, dinner was silent, until he got up from the table to have a cigarette in his black leather armchair in front of the evening news, and we could sneak back up the filthy cellar stairs. Spaghetti supper, actually all supper time, was serious business. After my father left, 10 years after those dinner table traumas and meals with the toads and the mice in the cellar, my mother stopped making the spaghetti sauce. She learned new dishes, like African peanut soup and applesauce bran muffins and chicken stir-fry with water chestnuts. She upgraded her wine selection to include whites from New Zealand and reds from Spain. And her salads were replete with exotic and bitter, frizzy greens and hothouse tomatoes and colorful peppers from Holland and Bulgaria. She shed 50 pounds and cut her wiry and unruly hair short into a smart style with highlights and started walking and swimming by the mile. And she bought clothes that showed off her new shape. She gave me the recipes to all the things she used to make, and she struck them from her own recipe book, at least for a while. She would still make the occasional batch of spaghetti sauce and would send over a plastic Rubbermaid container with her initials, SBC, emblazoned on the lid with a permanent marker, over Dad's, across the river via daughter delivery. She figured he suffered enough in his pathetic, lonely life. He might as well have a decent meal now and again. He'd roll his eyes when he'd get it, but he would always send back the plastic container the following week. He would even peek into my bag when I came visiting, checking to see if I had bought anything from Mom. For the first 10 years after the divorce, he would send his alimony check, always written in red ink, blood money, he called it, or the price for freedom, he'd say when he was writing out the check. I'd fold it wordlessly into my pocket and leave it on the dining room table for Mom. I, however, have had excellent luck with the spaghetti sauce. I used it as a very successful boyfriend lure. I made the sauce for all the boys in my life, and for a while they stuck around. But something would always come between us, my insecurity and neuroses, or their inability to commit, or addiction to controlled substances. I gave out my sauce freely, in plastic containers with my name and telephone number on them, like edible calling cards. I would arrive at the house of a potential suitor, sauce in hand, fresh pasta, a loaf of fine Italian bread, a bottle of decent red wine. In the morning, the bedding on the floor and the pans and dishes greasy with the culinary events of the night before, I would gather up my wares, leaving a healthy dose of sauce in the fridge. I never got my containers back. Spaghetti sauce with meatballs and sausage, the recipe. 2 cans of contadina tomato paste, 15 ounces. 2 cans of tomato puree, 32 ounces. 1 package of sweet Italian sausage. Note, some boys like hot sausage. 1 pound of hamburger. 1 cup of breadcrumbs. 1 egg. Garlic cloves, onion, and spices. Mix the egg, the breadcrumbs, the hamburger, and the spices, plus salt and pepper, into a large bowl. Form into meatballs about the size of a golf ball. Sauté the garlic and onions at the bottom of a pan with some olive oil. Add the meatballs, cook until almost done, then throw in the sausage. In another pot, mix all the tomato products with a few cans of water, with some oregano, thyme, and garlic. When the meatballs are done, transport them to the sauce. Scrape some of the brown, meaty stuff from the bottom of the meatball pan into the sauce. Cook all day, adding water if it's too dry. Let cool. Scrape off any fat that gathers at the top. If it's too acidy, add a tablespoon of sugar or a carrot when you heat it up next. Don't eat the carrot. Throw it out. It's way too full of acid. Thank you for listening. For more information about the recipes you've heard here, including author notes, photos, secret tips, and more, please visit twochocolatecakes.com. That's two, chocolatecakes.com.